The homilies or sermons contained in these podcasts were delivered by Deacon Joe Dietz, a permanent deacon serving at Christ the King Catholic Church in South Bend, Indiana, a parish of the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend. Each homily is preceded by the reading on which it was based. Since today's homily is based on a portion of the first reading and the Gospel, I'm going to share just a portion of the first reading since it is so long. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, sir?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are now persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was unable to see and neither ate nor drank. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, today we have the opportunity to consider one of the great debates throughout church history, an issue that is as divisive today as it has ever been, a point of discussion that, although there appears to be clear and convincing scriptural support on one side, nonetheless, because of its contentious nature and what I would call by some a clear and present disregard for the facts as conveyed in the scriptural narrative, remains undecided in the minds of many. I am, of course, talking about the question begged from today's reading. Did Jesus, in fact, knock Paul off a horse or not? For although down through history, artists such as Caravaggio have depicted the Jesus-Saul confrontation with Saul having been thrown from a horse, as have many who verbally relate the story, there is no mention in either the account we read in Acts today or in Paul's later recounting of the events of a horse, let alone him being thrown from one. Now, one could argue that given the 135-mile distance from Jerusalem to Damascus and Paul's haste to get on with his zealous, although misguided, work, that he would certainly have gone by horseback, if at all possible, as it would have taken him at least twice as long to walk that distance. And applying that practical logic to the story would make a very plausible argument that a horse, although not mentioned, could have been present at the scene. But the truth is, whether Paul fell from a horse or not really means nothing to us one way or the other. However, this morning I would like to apply some of the same practical logic to the far greater question. Did Jesus give us his real, actual body and blood to eat and drink in the Eucharist? Because even though there would seem to be overwhelming evidence in the words of Jesus, both in John chapter 6 and in the Last Supper narratives, this is still a controversial and divisive issue among Christians today. But rather than discuss the scriptural evidence, this morning I would like to take a minute to look at this question, like the Paul's horse question, from a somewhat more practical side. If, as Christians, we take as a given that Jesus is God, all-powerful and all-knowing God. And we know from early writings such as Justin Martyr's and from unbroken church tradition that from the beginning, his real presence in the Eucharist was what was believed. That in order for us to not believe the Eucharist is his actual flesh and blood, we would then have to believe the following. 1. He picked the wrong guys to be his apostles, as those he chose were too poorly educated or otherwise lacking in intelligence to understand what his teaching about the Eucharist actually meant, and they failed to realize he was speaking figuratively and not literally. That Jesus, God, the revealer of divine truth through the ages, was a poor communicator, because he failed to adequately and accurately convey the message that he meant the Eucharist as a symbol and not his actual body and blood. 3. That the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the dynamic power of God poured out on humanity, was not up to the task of giving the apostles a clear understanding of all that they had heard and seen. 4. That Jesus and the Holy Spirit were unable or refused to correct this error and allowed it to continue for 1,500 years during the critical formation period of the church. I could go on and on, but I think we all get the point. For me to suggest that Jesus is not fully present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, is not simply to doubt or dismiss a teaching of the Catholic Church. It is to doubt and dismiss the very power of God Himself. To suggest the God who created the universe and everything in it, as well as humanity in His image and likeness, to suggest that Almighty God could not effectively communicate, reveal, teach, and enlighten His creation regarding the gift of His body and blood sacrificed for their salvation. Well, if you're going to ask me to believe that, you might as well ask me to believe that Paul fell off a seahorse. For questions or comments on this homily, write to Deacon Joe 2017 at gmail.com.